Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe here with you this Saturday afternoon. Happy to have you on board for this program. Have guests coming up, have monologues coming up, one coming up right after I finish this introduction here. But the Silk or Joe Show is a Main Street Radio Network production. So we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. Some of their clientele, because they are an ad rep firm, decided that they didn't like our show. But Main Street has always stood fast behind us, even if they themselves don't particularly like some of the stuff that we discuss. So we want to thank them for that. We also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this program. And you can find out about us on MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. We are also on social media, GetterGETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show. And some of us post under the Main Street Radio Network's Facebook page, which is just called Main Street Radio Network. And if you want to keep up with the Al and Nathan Show and what they're doing over there, because sometimes I guest host for them, then you can check them out on Twitter at Al and Nathan or on Main Street Radio, which is the Main Street Radio Network's Twitter page. And they also have their posts on Facebook as well. All right, now all of that is over, so I'm going to get into some items today. The headline potluck that I like to do, actually it's just two subjects, I should say, not two headlines. But one of the headlines that I'm staring at right now is about Ronna Romney McDaniel. She is the current RNC chair. Allegedly, she doesn't have enough votes for the RNC to retain that RNC chair position. That is chairwoman of the Republican National Committee. And I say good riddance because during her tenure, all they've done is waste money on luxury cruises and fancy dinners for themselves and all that, and largely ignored concerns of the actual voters. So I am pretty glad that I did not donate to them this year, especially after it came out. Well, by this year, I mean 2022, because I'm still getting used to this fact that it's 2023, but I haven't donated yet in 2023 either, mind you. But either way, it wouldn't matter because my money would apparently go to some very non-political items to just fatten their wallets. I assume the DNC does the same darn thing because all these organizations seem to be one scam or other. So it's good that she doesn't have enough votes. That means there's some integrity left among the people who decide such things, but we'll see how that goes, how that plays out. And hopefully it ends up with somebody new and someone who will actually do something instead of waste your money. And then have people call you saying, oh, we need this amount of dollars to defeat the Democrats. But really, they're just going to use it to, I don't know, pay for their next fancy big ticket dinner or some crap like that that doesn't do anything. All right, moving on, we have more on the Joe Biden document scandal here. I was about to say Hunter Biden because he's in this headline here. That Corvette that all those documents were stored next to in Joe Biden's garage, Hunter Biden has been driving that in that period. So that means Hunter Biden had access to these classified documents. And we're not supposed to think that that's a big deal, that just any old person could come in and take a look at them. Because who knows who Hunter brought in with him? I'm looking at this picture right now. Hunter has at least two women in the car with him. So did they have access to those classified documents as well? Why is this not a big deal? If one of Trump's kids... Why do I have to keep saying this? If Trump did this, it would be a scandal. He'd be impeached tenth time by now. But no, it's the Bidens, and they are defending them to the death, it seems. In fact, parts of the government are leaking out Biden's excuses for why he has the documents. Now, Joe Biden, again, does not have... I say again because I haven't said it this show, but I have said it in previous shows, Joe Biden does not have the authority to declassify any documents. He doesn't have the authority to take these home with him because these are from his tenure as vice president. Vice presidents do not have the authority to say, hey, this document I can take home, no problem. They can't do that. So Joe Biden pretty much stole these documents at the very least, if not violated national security acts and all that, probably committed a couple of felonies in the process. Now, if you committed a felony theft, I don't know, you broke in, stole a diamond ring or something from a jewelry store, stole a couple of diamond rings, we'll say, and then you tell investigators 6 years later, you say, oh, yes, I just found this in my office somewhere that happens to get be paid for by a few criminal associates of mine. So, you know, here, have this diamond ring back. And then the government says, oh, OK, well, you're cooperating with us, so we're not going to bother imprisoning you or anything like that. You're not going to face any punishment. And when you say, oh, I found this other ring in one of my residences here, my lawyers will look around for me to see if I have any more. And the government says, OK, sure, we'll let your lawyers look around for these diamond rings that you stole. Really, do you think that would happen at all? Because that's what's happening with Joe Biden. He stole the documents. They turned up in a think tank funded by the Chinese government to the tune of $54 million. You don't think they were paying for access to those documents? And after they were found there, after some were found in his home, the federal government's like, okay, well, you can search your property for us, and we'll just believe whatever you say about finding more classified documents. They found four different sets of them so far at various points and parts of his residences and private offices. Yet, we're just supposed to believe, oh, well, that's it. There's no more, and there's no need to raid his homes like the FBI did for Trump. And allegedly, the reason for the FBI raid was that Trump was fighting them on a subpoena. Okay, that's a legal battle. They jumped the gun on a legal battle with an armed raid. Whereas with Biden, these documents just kept turning up, and they trusted him to give them all to them. Even though for 6 years he had them, he basically stole them in secret for 6 years. Okay, since when does it make it okay for you to commit a crime if you later confess to it? Confession does not absolve may absolve the soul, but it does not absolve you of criminal liability. And it certainly shouldn't absolve you of suspicion. Because if Joe Biden's confessing, well, even when he was out in front of the public, he was confessing to one or two document cases, and then suddenly a third one came out right in the middle of his speech. News broke of a third one. So he's already been caught lying to the public anyway about how many documents he had in storage. So why would we believe him at all when he says that he has no more? When his lawyers say they have no more, those are his lawyers. They're supposed to lie for him. You don't think they would? As much money as he pays them, you don't think they'd lie for him? Why are they letting him search his own stuff while they send the FBI to raid Trump's house for something that they're in the legal battle over? Doesn't make much sense unless you realize that there's favoritism in the DOJ towards Biden. That's the only explanation for it. Biden commits actual crimes because no matter what you say about Trump, if you don't think that he legally brought those documents home, at the very least, as president, he had the ability to declassify those documents, and he says he did. So Joe Biden, on the other hand, and, you know, while with Trump, you can make the case that perhaps he didn't do the process correctly, but still took them home. With Biden, he shouldn't have had those to begin with. Shouldn't have had them for 6 years. Shouldn't have moved them around. Certainly shouldn't have kept them in his garage. You know where Trump kept his? He kept his in a safe. Okay, he actually took secure measures to secure his documents. Joe Biden has them sitting in boxes next to the car that Hunter Biden and some floozies drive around in. All right? There's a big difference there. We're told that, Joe Biden, what he did was okay, what he did was acceptable, and he's an honest guy because after 6 years of letting the Chinese view the documents, he's coming around and he's letting the government know that, hey, I have these, and he's being fully cooperative. Whereas Trump, he's so evil because he's daring to legally fight something in court. Okay, so they're right that there is a big difference here. What Joe Biden did is illegal by any measure of the term. What he did was reckless by any measure of the term. What he did was probably in violation of a lot of laws that Trump was not in violation of. And yet what he did, we're supposed to believe, is better. We're just supposed to let the criminal get away with the crime. Because the DOJ certainly did. That special counsel, you think that's going to come up with anything? The guy is biased as heck. So now, not only do they let Joe Biden's lawyers search his residences instead of the FBI, they're also letting giving him a soft special prosecutor that's not going to come up with anything. How can we not interpret this as severely biased actions? I know the argument from the left out there is, oh, well, DOJ and FBI and all them, they're very conservative. Oh, that's a load of bullcrap. We've seen that from the Twitter files released. although we could have gleaned that from when the FBI sent unmarked cars and helicopters to a school board meeting just because the parents were a little upset about critical race theory and wanted to protest that, but at the school board meeting in a polite, orderly manner. Apparently that required FBI agents, but we're supposed to believe that. You know, those people are conservative. That's a lot of hooey, too. Gee whiz, look at the FBI director, Christopher Wray. You don't think that he knows about all this left-wing activity in the agency? And you don't think right-wing FBI agents have been fired? We've had some whistleblowers come out. Of course, the left says, don't believe these whistleblowers. They love to believe all the whistleblowers under Trump, but they don't believe any whistleblowers here. No, no, no. These guys are just a bunch of liars. So, no point arguing this with the left, because you'll lose, because they live on a different planet than you do. Folks, more Silk or Joe Show coming up after this break.
This report is sponsored by American Advisors Group. A new study shows that 80% of reverse mortgage borrowers are satisfied with the overall reverse mortgage experience, even 2 to 5 years after funding, and almost 8 out of 10 would recommend reverse mortgages to a friend. Designed to help those 62 and older supplement their retirement, more than 1 million homeowners have used a reverse mortgage from AAG and other companies. Dinah C. is a customer of American Advisors Group.
I don't have to worry about a mortgage payment every month. It keeps your mind at ease, and there's no pressure.
With a reverse mortgage, no monthly mortgage payments are required. And when you take out a reverse mortgage, you retain title to the property. The client could be subject to foreclosure, including failure to maintain the property and to pay property taxes and homeowners insurance. Join seniors 62 and over who would recommend reverse mortgages, and you could unlock some of your own home equity, which may have increased over time. A home equity conversion mortgage, HECM, is a reverse mortgage and is insured by the Federal Housing Administration, FHA. The borrower could be subject to foreclosure for reasons including failure to maintain the property and to pay property taxes and homeowners insurance. American Advisors Group, NMLS number 9392, NMLSconsumerAccess.org. American Advisors Group is headquartered at 18200 Von Karman Ave, Suite 300, Irvine, California, 92612. For complete disclosure information, visit aag.com/legal-information. These materials are not from HUD or FHA and were not approved by HUD or a government agency. Clients were paid for their time and their statements are their own.
Hi, I'm Marcia Miller from Mud Pie. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Mud Pie supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie. This is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to, man to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve. It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Soaker Joe Show, everybody. So with the DOJ seemingly as dysfunctional as I described in the last segment, it's no wonder the court cases about election integrity always seem to fall through the roof. And joining us now to talk about the fight for fair elections, we have Annalisa Pasek. Actually, she is discussing her article over at The New American titled Fighting for Fair Elections, and she's a staff writer with them and also a managing editor and book review editor at Library Journal. Annalisa Pasek, good to have you. How are you today?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you. So I got to say, reviewing your article here, I'll just start with something that affected kind of my little circle. I had a housemate who moved out to Oregon, and she called me the other day to say that she was automatically registered to vote and wouldn't even have known about it, except they were kind enough to send her a letter. And that seems a recipe for disaster for people who don't vote at all. It seems like that's a way for fraud right there.
Yeah, that's a way for anybody to get a ballot that is on a roll that hasn't been cleaned up probably in decades. The voting rolls are something that we really need to take a look at and get cleaned up. And unfortunately, the election officials in so many counties across this country are not taking the time to do it. So it's up to the American people. No one else is doing the work that needs to get done to improve our elections. And as you know, and all your listeners know, this is becoming the norm, that we are left on election day with a lot of questions. Often we don't get the results until days or even a month after election day. There are so many things wrong that need to be resolved, and there are people who are working on it. I'm hopeful for what's coming, but it's going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it, because these same things you mentioned in your article, there's 2020, we saw some odd stuff. In 2022, we saw a lot of odd stuff as well. Same stuff from 2020. It looked like nothing had been done. And I'd further add that in 2021, some of the patterns that you saw in 2020 reappeared in New Jersey, for example.
They are reappearing and they are becoming more commonplace. And if people speak up and say something, we're called conspiracy theorists, we're called election deniers. All these terms are now becoming heard in the mainstream media so repeatedly that people are starting to believe them, right? It's very Orwellian, it's very manipulative, and it's effective. And so while the problems keep recurring, I think at the heart of it is, why is there such disdain for any resistance or any, questioning? I've been doing a lot of work lately on stories that I have to do research for and go back 10, sometimes 20 years of media reports. And it's astonishing what the media reported just 5-10 years ago. Reports of, you know, something like an election fraud issue were reported fairly. The facts were presented and the American people could decide for themselves what happened, and the courts could get involved and we'd all wait for those results. But now the media doesn't report the facts, and what they do report is slanted one way. So the public doesn't really get a fair assessment of what's happening in our elections. And therefore, it's all gaslighting to think that if you have a question, if you don't understand why 50% of the tabulator and printer machines went down in one county that is responsible for 60% of the voters in that state, if you question that, you're suddenly, a dissident, you're an election denier, whatever they're going to call you. So we're living in a really dangerous time when it comes to just being able to hear the full story of issues like election fraud and so many other things.
It gets worse than that, because they always set it up so that if the other side wins, then it is election fraud. I remember back in 2020, you had Congressman Adam Schiff come out and say that if Trump wins, it's because he cheated. And then Senator Blumenthal said the same thing later that year. But then suddenly when Trump loses and someone cries voter fraud, oh, nope, that actually, you're a conspiracy theorist. And gee whiz, Stacey Abrams, she made a name, she made her career out of claiming she won in 2018 when she didn't.
Oh, poor Stacey Abrams. Yeah, she did make herself a household name with those allegations. But remember in 2016 when it was Russian collusion, the Russians were involved in our elections. And so Trump, that's how Trump won the first time. And remember, Hillary Clinton was repeatedly affirming that accusation. So you're right. It's a rules for me, a rules for thee, not for me. And you know, how do we move forward? With Carrie Lake's election in Arizona, the midterms were a mess, and she has, you know, not conceded that governor's race. She's continuing to fight against it. I don't know if you, I'm sure you are aware that the Arizona Appeals Court is going to hear her case at the end of this month or maybe in March, but they're going to hear it. And then if they hear it and based on their ruling, it could go to the Arizona Supreme Court. So the courts are, I guess, open to hearing this case. But as you know, the judge who dismissed it was also open-minded at the beginning. And then after 2 days came back and said, well, there's no quote unquote clear evidence of misconduct, even though he had hundreds and hundreds of sworn affidavits of citizens who reported, you know, irregularities. And so you have to wonder, like, you know, is that quote about if you're a great lawyer, you know the law, or if you're a good lawyer, you know the law. If you're a great lawyer, you know the judge. I don't know. Like, there are questions there, too. What happened with that judge?
Well, the judge also only allowed certain claims to be presented. I think it was something like, I don't remember legal terms too well, but it was like something 10 of the charges that they were presenting, he allowed them to only argue 3 or 4 of them. So that might have left off, you know, up to 60% of the case that they had.
Yeah, actually, I believe it was less than 3 or 4. There were 10 counts in the original lawsuit, and he heard 2 of them, and those had to do with the printer tabulator machine going down, and also the verification of ballot, mail-in ballot signatures. And so he ruled on both counts that there was not enough evidence to say that the election was compromised. But
and also, just to interject, part of his ruling was that they didn't prove intent, which is a very high bar to reach.
Right. They didn't prove intent. But if you listen to the testimonies of, say, the Maricopa recorder, Stephen Richer, you could gather that he was not forthcoming with his role as in the elections. He's very deceptive in what he oversees, and there are a lot of problems with what he said in that testimony.
Mm-hmm. All right, Annalisa Pasek, appreciate you joining the Silk or Joe Show today to update us on all this. And again, listeners, it's over at thenewamerican.com, Fighting for Fair Elections. That's her piece. Go check it out. We're coming into a break, but come back for more Silk or Joe Show.
At Cisco, we've come up with the first ever list of cybersecurity resolutions. We all make resolutions to be healthier, be happier. What Cisco's encouraging is that we make a resolution to be a little bit more secure. I'll give you 3 that you can consider. 1, I resolve to protect my accounts. Longer passwords, stronger passwords. No one likes it. I know. So consider using a password manager. Most important, look for things like a multi-factor. So if an adversary does get in, we can click a button and we can stop them. I resolve to protect my toys and technology. I just got a new gift. Before I plug it in the internet, let me pull down the updates. And then What about our phones, our tablets, our devices? What about things we don't think about, like internet-enabled appliances, our home internet router? Make a habit of checking those regularly, just like we check the fire alarm for any updates. Finally, I resolve to protect my privacy.
For parents looking for a fun new read to enjoy with their children, a hilarious picture book called Got Your Nose is now available in stores from New York Times bestselling author Alan Katz and Unicorns Are the Worst creator Alex Willen. The book imagines what happens when a good-natured game of Got Your Nose goes too far. Becky loves when Grandpa Max comes to visit, but this time when he pulls his favorite prank on Becky, he accidentally takes her nose for real. Now Becky and Grandpa Max have to chase Becky's nose as it scurries throughout town, or else who knows what will happen. Acclaimed children's book author Alan Katz, also a six-time Emmy-nominated writer for many children's TV series, tells us more.
This is a sweet, funny, and fast-paced story with vibrant, colorful illustrations that I hope will leave kids smiling and help adults realize that you're never too old for silly fun.
Got Your Nose is now available wherever books are sold.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show.
If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. So, this past week, the World Economic Forum has been meeting to decide your fate without your consent, and we've had some of our political elite over there helping with that decision. In fact, John Kerry, who is a member of the Biden administration, was over there talking about how everyone over there is a special elite person superior to everyone else. He actually said that. So, I'm not as clumsily worded as I've put it, mind you, but he did say they were all better than you and anyone else on the planet. So congratulations to them, I guess, for being so much better than the rest of us, and clearly that gives them a moral imperative to decide your life for you. I don't believe that for one second, and neither should you. Anyway, one of the other items they discussed, though, was how we're going to have, in this country, laws against hate speech. Now, there was a panel hosted by former CNN host Brian Stelter on disinformation. Stelter was fired from CNN for spreading disinformation and being told not to, but doing it anyway. Meanwhile, on that panel, you had the member of the World Economic Forum, their vice president. Oh, actually, no, not them, but the, well, yeah, I guess she is a member, but she's also vice president for values and transparency for the European Commission. Vera Jourova, I don't know and don't care to pronounce it correctly, she said that there will be hate speech laws implemented in the United States. And she said, you know, it's, we have a strong reason why we have this in criminal law and that we will have them too. So making hate speech illegal, of course, that leads to the question, who defines what hate speech is? And we've seen how that's gone in European countries. They have decided that hate speech was anything against the current political establishment, because that's what happens when you have laws limiting speech. The people in power decide that your hate speech is actually just anything you say that's against them, anything you don't, that they don't like. So, for example, if we had hate speech laws in this country, any Republican candidate wouldn't be able to run unless they ran as, you know, Democrats. Pretty much. There's no way you can run a candidate if there's hate speech laws, because how are they going to say a platform that's different from their opponent? They can't. They might as well stay at home. Of course, liberals out there, they're frothing at the mouth for this kind of thing. They want it because, now, this is coming from watching their news outlets, reading them in forums, reading them on Twitter, any way for me to catch what they express. And also just goes back, you know, at least 8 years, 9 years, to what I read in some student journal from Harvard University. They feel that because they are right, they are the only ones who have the right ideas. No one else should be allowed to speak. And they are happy for such things as censoring their opponents. And again, I just told you, all the sources that I've culled this knowledge from, it's not like I'm just making it up just to own the libs or whatever. I have read and listen to them. This is their thought process on it. That since they are right, everyone else must be wrong and is probably evil for it. Not just misguided, not just, well, if they're misguided and stupid, it's because evil people misguided them. And so they're part of the evil that should be fought. Punch a Nazi and all that garbage. So that is the impetus behind this force for censoring you from speaking, which means, how can you have a democracy when political opposition is outlawed because only one point of view is allowed? And that's where this inevitably heads. Anytime any other country controls their speech, that's where it goes. Authoritarianism. So that's in our future here. And sitting on that panel, nodding in agreement, we have New York Times Chairman Arthur Greg Sulzberger and Democrat Congressman Seth Moulton. And all of them were very much on board with this idea of censoring Americans who they disagree with. And, you know, this is coming from the New York Times, who are best known for Holocaust denial and denying that Ukrainians were murdered by the Soviets, starved to death by the millions, and also celebrating the same Soviet Union that did that. They had an entire week, about 6 years ago, dedicated to the greatness of the Soviet Union. The same Soviet Union that starved people to death, imprisoned political dissidents, and also were very much against lesbian women by forcing them to get a sex change if they wanted to be a lesbian and love another woman. So that's what the New York Times was heralding. That's the evil empire that also was a lot more polluting and dangerous to the environment than the United States ever was. But apparently the New York Times thinks all that is terrific, all that was paradise. That's what they said 6 years ago. And now they're the ones saying that anyone opposed to their ideology should, you know, face laws against them. But don't worry, there are laws in the works. A bill was introduced by Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, who at one point, at least on one of the issues that we covered on the show about that it was the Alan Nathan show that I covered it about the Afghan person who collaborated with us in Afghanistan and then tried to cross over into the country illegally because that's the only way he could get here after we abandoned him. Well, Sheila Jackson Lee was on the right side of that story, wanting to let him in, drop all charges. she, at the same time almost, released a bill that basically said if a white person criticizes someone who isn't white, that's a federal offense, a felony. Yeah, so in other words, I couldn't call her an idiot. I couldn't say this is anti-First Amendment. I probably couldn't even mention her name without being considered in violation of this new law that she wants to issue. And I'll tell you what, I saw a poll a couple of years ago, before the 2020 election, somewhere in the Trump administration, where at least a third of Democrats believed in this. They believed it should be a crime for a white person to criticize a non-white. Like, even if the non-white is screwing up horribly. You know, I got to wonder if some Democrat out there calls Dr. Ben Carson or something, or a name or something, or some white Democrat out there decides to remove Ben Carson's name from their high school, as has happened. Would that be considered hate speech under this new law? I'd say no, because we've seen what the double standard of this justice system is under the Biden administration. And under this law, all Democrats have to do is run a non-white presidential candidate, and suddenly it's a federal offense to pretty much run against them. Although it would put them in a, well, it wouldn't put them in much of a spot, though, if the Republicans ran their own non-white candidate, because they have invented this term called white adjacent, so they probably prosecute the person under that. As we know, there is no equal protection under the law if you're a Democrat. If you're a Democrat, you're allowed to storm state capitals, disrupt state level works, secede from the United States, shoot people, no problem. In fact, I was just reading the other day about an Antifa person who in 2020 shot at a family that was trying to flee from one of the riots. The guy opened fire on them and got no jail time. Just right out release, no problem. Nothing wrong with shooting at people. But that's because he's a left-wing protester. Meanwhile, there's people still in prison, still in solitary confinement, still haven't had a trial, who just walked through the Capitol on January 6th, didn't do anything else. Had no weapons on them, didn't bust any windows, just walked around, took a picture, and they're in prison for it, still in solitary confinement, going on 2 years now. So that's the justice system we'd have. You know, there's Mark Houck, for example. He shoved an pro-abortion protester because that pro-abortion protester was harassing his child. So what happens? FBI raids his home, shows up with armed SWAT people, yank him out of the house just for doing that. That's all he did. Meanwhile, again, Antifa guy let loose with no jail time for shooting at people. A little bit more than shoving. And also, again, storming state capitals, no one was held accountable for that when a bunch of left-wing protesters stormed into state capitals in Iowa and Arizona. Nothing happened from that. And Seattle, they seceded from the United States, grabbed a couple of city blocks, forced the police out of that region, actually forced them out of a police precinct, the building, and nothing was happened. No one was held accountable for that either. We were told that that was acceptable behavior to force the police out of a region of a city and then take that as your own and secede from the United States and start your own country. We were told that that was acceptable behavior. But walking through the Capitol? No, you're in solitary confinement for 2 years. Yep, that is the kind of double-tiered justice system we have. So there is no possible argument you could make that a law that specifically targets white people would be implemented in any kind of fairness. But that's what the left wants you to think. And they want you to think that this is progress. This is good. And the World Economic Forum is totally on board with this thing. Because as they said, we're going to have hate speech laws in this country. And here it is. Brought to you by Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas. Now, she keeps getting elected in, I don't know. But I guess that is a very woke district of Texas. Because all the white people who voted for her, well, they sure ain't going to be voting for anyone else if this law passes, because who's going to run against her? Certainly not a white person. And who's going to support a candidate that's against her? Certainly not a white person. In fact, this shuts white people out of the election process entirely, because anyone who is not a white candidate, regardless of party, can say, oh, well, this person is committing a crime by criticizing me. Shut them up and arrest them. That's a felony. That's what this law allows. Now, of course, conservative candidates wouldn't do that, but they could. And even if they did, just again, We're talking about the woke left-wing DOJ that we have that has such wild double standards, as I mentioned, who, as I mentioned in the opening segment with Joe Biden and Donald Trump, they treat those two cases very differently, treat Biden with kid gloves, even though he is more of a criminal than Trump. So we'll see where this goes. Hopefully the Republicans in the House just block it and don't even consider it. More Soaker Joe Show after this break.
This report is sponsored by Coca-Cola. Start your new year with real Coke taste and zero sugar. Coke Zero Sugar is now available at participating Burger King restaurants. Coke Zero Sugar will fuel your new year with that great Coke taste. Satisfy your hunger and enjoy Coke Zero Sugar with a piping hot breakfast sandwich, like a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich. Its sizzling sausage, fluffy egg, and melted American cheese on a toasted croissant makes for a delicious breakfast to start your morning right. And don't forget the crispy hash browns. Or if the flame-grilled Whopper sandwich, BK Royal crispy chicken sandwich, or chicken fries are your fave, you are in luck because all Burger King menu items pair perfectly with an ice-cold Coke Zero Sugar. It's the perfect no-sugar sparkling beverage that goes great with everything. Coke Zero Sugar is a great way to start 2023. And since you rule, you can enjoy it all year, too, at participating U.S. Burger King restaurants.
Hi there, it's Joe Montana. Life after football has been full of taking my shot at new things. Now I'm working with Pfizer to tell you about pneumococcal pneumonia. Pneumococcal pneumonia should be the last thing standing in your way.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can strike any time of year. It can disrupt your life for weeks, and in severe cases, it can put you in the hospital and even be life-threatening. And Joe knows that vaccination is one of the best ways to help protect himself from pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 65 or older, or 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions like asthma, COPD, chronic heart disease, or diabetes, talk to your doctor or pharmacist about the risk of pneumococcal pneumonia and whether vaccination is right for you. Understand your risk at knowpneumonia.com. That's KNOW pneumonia.com. This is your shot.
This message is brought to you by Pfizer.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
My baby brother, a father.
Come on, it's time for his nap.
Whoa, he can't sleep on his stomach. Babies should always sleep on their backs in a safety-approved crib, and the sleep area should be clear of blankets, toys, and other loose or soft items. It reduces the risk of SIDS.
SIDS?
You know, sudden infant death syndrome.
Guess I need to start studying up on safe sleep for little man here. Being his favorite uncle comes with big responsibilities.
For more information, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov, sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
You want to give your baby everything, so start with a safe sleep area. Babies younger than one should always be placed to sleep on their backs on a firm and flat surface like a safety-approved crib. And keep blankets, pillows, and other soft or loose items out of the crib when the baby is in it. Learn more about safe sleep for babies at safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Thank you for staying with the Silker Joe Show for this hour. So you might be wondering about what I mentioned about Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee's latest bill about basically criminalizing any criticism of non-white politicians, or non-white public figures, I assume, as well. Why that's not getting much more widespread coverage? Well, I did a quick Google search, and I found very little from the mainstream media about it. And what I did find was basically saying you're a racist and a white supremacist if you oppose being silenced like that. And you might wonder, how is it that the mainstream media got so far left? Well, joining us now to talk about how that might have happened, we have Joseph Vasquez, assistant editor of the Media Research Center's Free Speech America and MRC Business, and they have done an interesting report about how left-wing billionaire George Soros has been funding a lot of that liberal media that seems to be in favor of Sheila Jackson Lee's legislation. So, Joseph Vasquez, appreciate you being here. How are you today?
Thanks for having me.
So what have you found out about George Soros's media influence?
Well, we actually released a three-part series starting in December that analyzed George Soros's global media influence. And what we found is downright astonishing. I mean, if I was just to sum up our findings in a one-liner, you know, across the three reports that we released, we essentially found that Soros has doled out a whopping $131 million to 253 news and activist media organizations across the world. So if you're wondering why the media seems to have a very, very explicit left-wing bias, perhaps maybe a Soros connection has something to do with it. In our third report, we analyzed 54 major figures who are tied to some of the biggest names in news organizations across the world. And what we found is our connections to Soros through their connections to organizations that he funds. Some of the names that we found in our tally, one of them being NBC Nightly News anchor Lester Holt, another one being CNN Chief International anchor Christiane Amanpour. They are involved in the boards of organizations that Soros himself funds. So when you look at this as a media behemoth that has special interest money behind all of it, then you wonder, why is it so slanted to the left? Maybe there is a reason behind that. And George Soros may be one of those reasons, to say the least.
Absolutely. And it doesn't just stop at those 253 organizations and those media personalities you looked at, because you have to figure there's other people in the media, too, who are seeing this, and they're not on the take getting all that money, but they're thinking, boy, if I go left-wing enough in my reporting, maybe George Soros will give me some money, too.
Again, you know, that's exactly right. And the amazing thing is it's just the amount of pull that Soros has been able to have in the media. He's essentially bought for himself media silence. You notice that there's rarely any coverage about his influence or where he's spending his money. It's rare. Why? Because he's essentially built up for himself a cabal, a proverbial protection racket, if you will, to insulate himself from any kind of negative media coverage. And if a conservative or anyone in the news on the right dares to raise a criticism of Soros, it's like the leftist media then converge on that person and try to characterize him as some sort of a racist, you know, for raising any kind of a criticism. It's indicative of the kind of influence that Soros has been able to buy with his money, and he's been doing it for years. And the amount of influence that he has, not just in the U.S., but across the world, is just jaw-dropping. And these reports only tell a small part of the story. The 253 organizations that we found are just what we were able to count with our staff. There could be hundreds more that we didn't find.
Yeah, and I have to say that I guess they were jealous of the Koch brothers. I remember 10 years ago when I was starting in the industry, there was all this talk about, oh, the Koch brothers are behind this or that or the other thing. They're funding all this secret stuff. And also Rupert Murdoch, he's so rich, he's funding all the opposition to Obama and opposition to Democrats. It's just coming from these couple of millionaires and billionaires who own right-wing media. But then you have George Soros, now you're anti-Semitic if you criticize a billionaire owning the media. I guess they were just jealous that they weren't getting the money 10 years ago.
Exactly. And, when people try to compare George Soros' influence to someone like the Koch brothers, here's what I want people to understand. The amount of money that Soros has been willing to dole out, not just for political for media influence, but also for political influence as well. When people try to compare the money that the Koch brothers or even the Mercer family has given to politics, it, as my boss Brent Bozell had pointed out, it is a spit in the bucket compared to how much Soros has been willing to spend. Since 1984, he has fueled his organization with $32 billion of his own wealth, which when looking at it through the prism of Charles Koch's current net worth, which I think is around $59 billion, Soros' spending accounts for about 50 to 55% of Charles Koch's entire net worth just to be able to buy the influence that he has. Whether it be in politics, education, media, Soros is involved with it all. And that's the danger that happens when one man is able to exhibit that amount of influence. And its effect can be seen in real time. That's when you see we're always, the Media Research Center exists because there's a massive liberal media bias that's going on. Well, guess what? There was a connection to someone with a radical leftist view of the world, and that is George Soros.
Right. He's bought himself prosecutors in various cities, and we've seen how that went. Those cities immediately go down the tubes. They stop prosecuting many crimes, and that leads to a dramatic increase in crimes, and it affects all the populations that they claim in their woke talk that they're trying to help. But then you also got to figure that how many politicians out there are doing Soros' stuff, thinking that they'll get a nice job or a nice fat wad of cash from him if they act in the way he wants them to.
Well, it's funny that you pointed out politicians. Our friends at the Capital Research Center did an analysis of their own, and what they found out just, while we were releasing our report on his media influence, the CRC found out that since 2000, Soros has spent a whopping $21 billion in politics around the world since 2000. I mean, what kind of influence do you think that can buy? It's ridiculous. the kind of influence that kind of money can buy. But then you have to ask yourself at the end of the day, what is his end goal in all this? Why is he trying to do this? And you know what? There may be an explanation. In a 2002 book by late New York Times reporter Michael T. Kaufman, his book, Soros, The Life and Times of a Messianic Billionaire, he chronicles a quote from Soros that pretty much puts a cap on all of this. This is from Soros from a book in 2002. Quote, "Yes, I have a foreign policy, and now I have it more consciously. My goal is to become the conscience of the world." End quote. Need I say more?
No, you don't. That's horrifying that one person gets to do all that by our politics that are supposed to be free for the people. Joseph Vasquez, assistant editor of the Media Research Center's Free Speech America, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe show today to talk about this. And listeners, thank you for tuning in for this vital information. Now you understand some of the puppeteers, one of the puppeteers anyway, behind the media coverage you see. And you can find out more about us at mainstreetmedianetwork.com. We're also on Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.